Well, I've had a couple of interesting weddings. I had one a week ago yesterday and had one yesterday. And the one a week ago is for Chelsea, and it was real good. It was hot. It was outside, but it was good. But the one yesterday was a different one. I'm not even sure how I got involved in this one. But I'd never met the groom until Saturday. I knew the bride for, you know, a few months. And a friend of Brittany's, and so they're going to have their wedding out on the farm, and they had an undertaker that was going to do the ceremony. And Grandma, who is a staunch Catholic, says, "I don't think so. We need a minister." And so Brittany volunteered me, and I knew Samantha, and so I said, "Well, sure, I'll do it, you know." And I'd like to ask God's blessing on these things anyway. I just do. It's like a lot of people feel like, well, you know, we need to have a few months counsel or whatever else. You know what? I used to counsel people before they got married. Nobody ever did what I'd counseled them to do anyway. And what I counseled them to do was probably wrong, a lot of it anyway, you know. And so I met him, and he's a sweetheart. Just a sweetheart. His name is Kyle Michaels. And I met his mother, and I thought, I have seen her somewhere lots of time. Well, anyway, it just so happens that she's one of the, not a big shot, but she's one of the people, the influential people at Farm and Fleet. I've seen her lots of times. I've scared her half to death a couple of times because I let go of the cart one time, and she was standing there, and I stumbled and stumbled and grabbed Chuck, and I scared her because she thought I was going to fall on the floor. And I mean, I just do that every so often just for the fun of it. No, that's not why I do it. And but anyway, and so here's this wedding, and it's out on the farm, and it's nice yesterday. It was hot Saturday a week ago, but yesterday it was nice. And it went good. Everything went good, and I, you know, a week ago when I made a mistake right at the very end, and I said, "I now pronounce you, I present to you, Mr. and Mrs. Cole Weber." His name's Walker. And I had to catch myself because, you know, in all of these years, I think that's the only time I've ever done anything like that. And they were okay with it. Well, yesterday, everything was fine. It went really, really good. But the problem is, I didn't say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and cross myself. And we have a lot, they had a lot of Catholic people there. And so everything was fine, and we left and we went home, and they were doing their thing and lots of drinking and so forth. And so we went down to the reception down in whatever it is, down.
Metropolis?
Metropolis, yeah. And because they wanted me to ask the blessing on the food. And so they said, "Well, we're going to bring you a mic and you ask the blessing." And anyway, Grandma, who is kind of the leader of the pack and as far as the Catholicism, she said, "No, I want to do it." And so anyway, so Brittany came over and told me, she said, "I guess Grandma's going to do it." So she did, and she starts out with the Lord's Prayer and she, all of these things. And the next thing I knew, about half of the people stood up and crossed themselves, you know. And I got the picture. But anyway, let me tell you the rest of the story. I'm guessing that half of the people that were at that wedding are indirectly related to me. One of them's sister married my grandmother's brother. I mean, that's not, that's an indirect. The mother to the groom, who works at Farm and Fleet, her uncle was Clint Schimmel, who is my who was married to my first cousin. You know what I mean? And so we went around the same. Almost everybody that I met in some way was indirectly related to us. And we said, you know, the apple doesn't fall that far from the tree. And but anyway, it was quite an experience. But you know why? There were a lot of people that liked us. Mm-hmm. Even some of those that didn't maybe agree with what we stood for. It went smooth. It went good. It was good. You know, it was nice. And there's not much in the spiritual realms that we could say, because you're facing some Catholic spirits, and you just have to... They've been there a long time. And I want to give a testimony for Tim Jodwine. Tim, through the manpower, got a job. And he is excited. And unfortunately, for the next few weeks, he has to start work at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. He works 3 12-hour days, and then the next week he works 4 12-hour days, but he gets like $10 an hour, the most he's ever made, I think. And but he's really, really happy. And he called me up yesterday, and he said, I want to be in church so bad. He said, God is doing such good things, and I'm so excited about it. He said, I have been laughing and I have been crying before the Lord at what God is doing. And you see, he's happy with something that wouldn't mean much to most people. Is that the way God is? And he says, I can hardly wait so I can get and just share with what God's doing. And I thought, that's Tim. That's the new, the word Tim. That's coming out of the Word of God. And you know what he does? He has no reason not to. He listens to the scriptures like we do. He says, I listen to it until the CD machine wears out. And he says, as soon as I can afford one, I get another one. And I thought, Tim, I'll make sure you have one. We just got one. And it's just a little dinky thing at Menards for $17. It does exactly what all the rest of them do. That's half, at least, you know, less than half of what we paid for most of them. But anyway, what an excellent testimony. I told Corky this morning, Charlie wasn't here and Ken is gone. And I said, if it's just a couple of us, I'm going to bring my message, but I don't think I'm going to. I'm going to leave it open for testimonies. I think that maybe Ben might even have a testimony back there. I don't want to put him on the spot, but God has done some good things in Ben. And we've heard about it through Bonnie. And so anyway, I've got a lot of things to say, but right now, you know, my mind went kind of funny.
Going, Ben? Not yet. Okay, I'm gonna go.
Okay.
God bless you.
He is. I just love it. I have a testimony that if you looked at it in the natural, it was perhaps a long time in coming. But it was five 5 years ago this summer that I, and it was through Joyce Simmons that I got word that an old band that we used to follow around back in the day was having a reunion. And so I determined to go and see who I would see. And then it turns out it was at Sammy's in the back where the bar was, and I'd never been there, and I don't know how to go into bars. I don't know how to do that thing. So, and Charlie wasn't interested in doing it, so I made Hannah take me. Maybe it was just 4 years ago. Hadrian was a baby. When was that, Charlie? No, but it seems like it was 2010, and now it's 2015. But anyway, Hannah knew how to do bars, okay? Sorry, she didn't learn it from me. Anyway, so she drove me out there. We parked the car, and we're walking across the parking lot into the place, and I was praying. And she looked at me and went, "Mom, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, why else am I here? I cannot figure out why I would be coming to try to hook up with these people except for the Lord, you know, because they were people that I was very, very close to. But you have to realize I got saved when Jesse was like 2, and I totally cut myself off from that whole lifestyle and all those people. So I haven't seen these people in 40 years, you know, and or 39, it was at, I don't know, 30, over 35 at that time. Anyway, it's been a slow process, but I have continued contact with them. I haven't been out there with signs, you know, saying you're going to go to hell if you don't do this. I've only been just trying to be me and let Jesus' light show. And if brought to the point, then able to say things. Well, you know, those are groups of hundreds of people that we, you know, they're from Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire and this big, big party group. Anyways, not a lot of people have come to the Lord in that time, but, of course, Mike Clifton was there, and I had hooked up with him, and we all know that he's serving God. Another friend of mine that lives in Arizona is serving God. Another friend that lives somewhere else is serving God. So, I mean, it's just a handful, you know, compared to all that people, but there were some. And so we've maintained contact, and we've maintained contact with the other people, and we go see music here, run into this one's here, talk to them, bless them, you know, just whatever. And you know, they like us. They really like Charlie. They really like Charlie. He's the nicest guy in the whole world. They just loved him to death. And they're very good to me. And, you know, I think the eye stuff is somehow being used because they're, like, solicitive of me. "Oh, Gene, let me help. Are you here? You know, oh, Gene, can I help you here? And oh, you're such a sweetie and love me. And you know, and so on. It just going on. Okay, so the annual end of the summer potluck party was yesterday. And Thursday night, I was out to Tim and Lynette King's. They have a prayer meeting there on Thursday night. Bonnie was there, and Charlie, and more of us there than them. But anyway, I just asked for prayer. I said, "I'm going to this get-together. I don't want to just go have fun. I mean, I want to have fun, but just fun in the natural. I'd like to have some fun in the spiritual." You know, I want Jesus to show forth. I would just like this. So, you know, Lynette, when she prays, she goes, "Well, you heard her, Lord. That's what, you know, she wants open doors." And so we prayed, and then I went to my party yesterday, and it was very obvious that I was sitting up on a deck because I can't see real well where people are, and I wouldn't know who was coming, and I'd have to have someone tell me who they were or who are you, you know, because I can't make out features. And then someone said, "Clancy and Nancy are coming." And so they come up, and I said, "Hey, are you Nancy that goes with Clancy?" And she said, "Yeah, it's me." And I said, she'd been sick, see, and nobody knew what was wrong with her. She'd been in the hospital, and I kept asking, "Well, how is Nancy? Is she okay? Did anybody find out?" Blah, blah, blah. Nobody knew anything. But she came up, and I said, "Well, Nancy, how are you doing? I heard you were sick." And she said, "Well, I'm better, but I'm not." And it was like, oh, there's something big going on there. So I just got up and went with her into the kitchen while she was doing something with food, and she just... it just vomited out of her all the things, and she was diagnosed with, and I'm really bad at this, but with something in her lungs, and they gave her 1 to 3 years to live. They're kind of controlling it with some medicine so she doesn't feel as bad as she did. She has oxygen tank and all this, but if she was down, you could tell she was down, and she would say, But it's going to get worse. It's just going to get worse. They told me it's going to get worse, and that I only have 1 to 3 years, and you could tell she was down. So anyways, I hugged her, loved her, talked to her husband some, went back about things, and I could not shake it. I could not shake it all through the night. You need to go pray with that woman. You need to go pray with that woman. You need to go pray with that woman. And so, of course, we got rock music going over here, or maybe it was more bluesy, but it was loud. And, people are drinking over here. People are smoking pot over here. And you can smell it when you walk by. I mean, it's just a party scene, And you got to go pray with that woman. You got to go pray with that woman. So, and Charlie had got my sister and me, and he had been there for a little while, but, it's not his scene. He's not going to stay at a party like that. But he was going to come back and get us. So I thought the music was going to be done at 9. It turned out it was going to go to 10, but that was fine because we could get home early. And I got under a big light and found my phone, and I know Charlie is. I have these big circles in there of people's names, and I know that he is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I push that button, and it calls Charlie, so I can figure that out, and I don't have to dial a number. And I just said, the music's going to be done at 9. I don't know how soon people are leaving after that. You can come whenever you want. But I really want to pray with Clancy's wife, Nancy, and I was wondering if you wanted to pray with me. And although they were part of the old group, they don't drink, because they have physical ailments, and they're sitting quiet by themselves, as far away from the pot as they can get, so they're not smelling it and all that. And I said they may just leave when the music's done. So I know Ben's back there, but I can't see him right now. See, so that's what my eyesight is. So I wouldn't see people if they got up and moved away. So I was wanting Charlie to get there, so we wouldn't miss him. And he said, sure, sure. So he came, I don't know, maybe heard one song. And but right after I talked to him, the girl I was sitting next to, I said, are Clancy and Nancy still here? And she said, yeah, they're over there. And it's like, I don't see anything. It's all black over there. But she goes, do you want me to take you over? And I said, yeah. So she took me over, and I got to Nancy, and I held her hands, and I said, Nancy, would you mind? Maybe I waited till Charlie got there. Yeah. I said, would you mind? But Charlie wasn't by me. Would you mind if... my husband's here, and would you mind if we prayed with you? Oh, no, she says. I mean, it's so, you ask to pray with someone, there's not very often they're going to go, hey, get away from me. They're very appreciative of getting prayer, people are. And so instead of being afraid to ask if you can pray with people, just go ahead and do it. And I said, okay, well, he's coming out, and he really likes to pray, and I like to pray with him, so we'd like to pray with you. And she said, okay. So then when I found Charlie in the mess, and we went back over there, and I introduced Charlie to Nancy and to Clancy, and there was someone named Kevin sitting there. And, there are people all the way around, but I can't really see them. So, another good point of not having good vision. I'd have to worry about what anybody was looking at me funny or something, And I just said, well, Nancy, this is Charlie, and we'd like to pray with you. And I just knelt down by her and held her hands, and I started praying, and I could hear Charlie praying behind me. And we were praying. I asked for miracles. I asked for her lungs to be cleared. I asked for strength for her. I don't know what Charlie was praying, and because he's off in his own little thing when he prays and whatever. But the spirit was strong. And when we got done, I gave her a big hug, and she kept saying, thank you so much, thank you so much. And then Clancy says, her husband says, Jeannie, that was really nice. And I said, well, we love you guys. And just, and then we did a little bit of talking, and then we left. I don't know what anybody would think, except for this morning there's a ding-ding on my little tablet, and I can see there's this blue thing that means I have a message. I take it out by Charlie, and it's Nancy. And she says, he had to read it to me, but she said, Jean, I want to thank you. Do you remember exactly? Something like, thank you for you guys' heartfelt prayers. It really meant a lot to Clancy and I. And so, I mean, and love Nancy or something, I don't know. But anyway, I haven't answered her because, you know, I need help to write it. But we will, and we will offer, you know, if she wants prayer again or whatever. But anyways, I just take that's an open door, and there was absolutely no fear or embarrassment on my part. I really felt it was God doing it, and, you know, these 5 years have been worth it just to be able to do that. And I'm foreseeing, you know, more open doors. I just am. And I think that, you know, we talk about power, you know, we're going to see these miracles and all that. But I, you know, Keith was talking a week or two ago, I don't remember exactly, but the power being the preaching of the gospel and the bringing people in, I just think that that's really it. I mean, yeah, I'll like these other miracles too, but getting souls saved, getting them to the kingdom, it just, I don't know. It just was a good thing, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I didn't give up, but I'm thankful that the Lord was with me throughout these years, and I'm thankful that He answered those prayers last night, and then I'm asking Him to just keep a door open there, and then perhaps we can go forward with other things. So, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. God bless you.
Yeah, the Spirit was really there praying with that woman. It was, want to do that again. It was just really good. And, you know, power for whatever. I ministered in jail a week ago, Sunday afternoon. And, the Lord was there in such a good way, just there. And, you know, before I got saved, I wouldn't have liked it if people were talking about God. Ooh, I'd get away from there. You know, it would not be the least bit appealing. You know? And I suppose I've spent all of many years figuring, well, that's probably the way that people are going to feel, so I don't want to bother them that kind of way, whatever. I don't know that that's true anymore. I think there can be a way of talking about the Lord that just makes people
like it.
Come across as appeal. You know, it's just, you know, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And that goodness can come through, you know, when there's talk. I think the men that were there in jail a week ago, they liked it. They just liked the, and it wasn't me, you know, talking. I talked a third of the time, the rest of them were, you know. But it was just an enjoyable experience. I almost say in the natural, but it's not in the natural, it's in the Spirit. But it was just enjoyable. I really enjoyed it. And I think it was very enjoyable for those men too. And I think we turned a corner. I think we are reaching a point where what we will do is present something that is very pleasant and enjoyable to people. They'll welcome it, unless whatever, you know. But it will be good, and I think it was enjoyable for those Nancy and Clancy that here last night. I very much want to get and pray with that woman again. That was fun. but I think, you know, it's just good. It's just good. It's just good. And I think we have that to look forward to. It is the whole process of whatever. Ministering will be an enjoyable
experience. Certainly enjoyable for me. And I think for them too. You know, enjoyable.
Gene caused me to realize something. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, what you need to do is get your knees fixed. You know, some people have had problems with their knees and they've had them fixed. I don't really have a big problem with my knees. I got a big problem with this thing that's on top of my shoulders. Things are out of balance. Well, that wedding that we had yesterday, you see the hill out here on the side of the church and how it slants? The wedding was on a hill like that. I was at the bottom of it, and they had fastened some hay bales up, and that's what I stood against. But they drove some posts in the ground to balance it, so I was stable. And but I realized, you know, I couldn't no way get up that hill. And I realized something, and Gene probably is experiencing the same thing. I mean, it's different because I can see, you know. But I can't walk. And as soon as I start out, whatever, people come running to grab me. And I thought, you know what? That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. And I looked at these people, that was in the wedding yesterday, and they're related, Joe. Half of these people are related to you and I somehow. I mean, not really directly, but one of them has a sister that married our grandma's brother. You know what I mean? Or Grandma Iva. And so anyway, here we are. And I looked at him and see, when I had that dream 50 years ago, an angel appeared. And he said, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Let me tell you something. It is not that far away. And I said, do I have time? Do we have time to tell our loved ones? And he said, you just have time. And I looked at these people yesterday. And you know what? I love them. I've never met them before. They're some of my loved ones. I love these people. I don't know who they are. And I felt this intense love in what I can't even explain it. But there's a scripture that has developed a totally new meaning. And I never realized what it said. You know, in the Acts, the first chapter in verse 7 and 8, in 7 they asked Jesus, they had asked Jesus in verse 6 maybe, they said, when is the time that the kingdom is going to be restored to Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons. Okay, that's in verse 7. In verse 8, Jesus says, but you shall receive power, Charlie, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. It doesn't say anything about signs and wonders and miracles. The power to witness. And Charlie made a statement, and I understood exactly what he's saying. It all of a sudden, it gets to be fun and easy. And the reason is the Spirit of God comes upon you supernaturally, and the next thing you know, he is putting words in your mouth, and people are responding and receiving. That's what I saw 50 years ago, right after I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And Pablo wasn't here last week, but I shared some things about what I heard out of Pablo. See, the Spirit of God is coming powerfully upon Pablo and on Dominic. And so what happened as I heard him saying some things at Chelsea's wedding, and I cried. Afterwards, I said, these are some of the most powerful, unbelievable things I have ever heard. It had to have an impact on people. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. We receive a power to witness that we're not familiar with. And I, you know what? I saw the people that were in this wedding yesterday. I mean, the hill is going up like this. I'm at the bottom of it, and they're sitting in hay bales and stuff, and They had some chairs, but they could hardly balance in the chairs because they were leaning forward so bad. And but I looked at them, and you know what? They probably didn't care for the fact that I wasn't Catholic. But they loved me, and I could tell it. And as soon as I would start to move someplace, there'd be half a dozen guys running to help me. And I felt strange about it, but I thought, but not, as Jean was talking, I thought, no. No, there's an avenue. The time is coming. I mean, this, you know, this Kyle Michaels, the groom yesterday, he is a sweetheart. He's got to be one of the sweetest guys you ever met. He's another tall guy like, you know, Pablo or Cole or one of these guys. He's tall, you know. What a sweetheart, absolute sweetheart. Except for the fact that he went bear hunting and wounded a bear. And I said, I said, where was that bear you wounded? I just want to make sure I'm not around that area. And anyway, but then one more thing. We're down at this reception last night, and the ceiling is, I don't know, I never noticed it, maybe I've never been in that particular room before, but the ceiling has got all kinds of little indents in the ceiling. And when they were taking some flash pictures, this was one of the strangest things that you ever saw. It would flash here and flash there from one and flash over here from another and flash over here from... Okay. Last Sunday night, after our Bible study, and we went outside, and I looked up at the sky to the east, and it was the strangest display of things I've ever seen. Did you see it? Okay. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, he says, as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, it doesn't flash from the east to the west. It flashes from the west to the east.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It goes the other direction. But he said, as it flashes from the east to the west, it was flashing from the east coming this way, and it was like thousands and thousands of flash bulbs going off in the heavens. And I said, I told Joanna, I said, this is the strangest thing I have ever seen. And there were a lot of people, and I know who was telling me that, were saying, "Is maybe that's a rapture. Maybe this is a rapture." And you know what? I felt the same thing. I thought, I wonder if this is a rapture. Because he's going to come from the east in the clouds. Isn't that what it says? I thought, maybe this is a rapture. And you know what I did? I prayed. I was out there and I said, "Lord, don't, not yet. Not yet. There are people that I love intensely. I don't want you to come before they're ready." That was a display last Sunday night, unlike anything I've ever seen, with the exception of one thing. The night that Brian died, the sky was bright and there were clouds coming over top, but they were the strangest clouds ever. Back in July 5th, 1976. And strange. And I looked at them, we looked up and I said, "I've never seen clouds like that." Well, I never saw a display like what I saw last Sunday night either. But the Bible says there will be signs in the heavens. But anyway... There was something else I was going to say, but I...
I want to make sure I leave some time, but God is good all the time. All the time God is good. I have been getting up and sharing off and on over the last year and a half or longer how God is moving me from mountains to valleys, maybe to another valley, maybe to another valley, and then maybe a hill, and back to a valley. And then occasionally there's a bigger hill, And every now and then, God shows me a mountain. My situation has been interesting, and I have tried to the best of my abilities to put it in God's hands. Anyways, things have been a lot of valleys lately. But this past week, God showed me a mountain again. So we're working along in my little company, and things are tough. They've been hard. And this past week, I get a phone call from a network that you all know, and he says, "We want to buy a lot of your product. A lot." We're really excited about this. The problem is we don't know how we're going to pay for it. We were actually talking about this prior to this phone call, like how are we going to get from here to there? This gentleman on the phone says, "But we're going to prepay for this shipment." Just start. And he goes, "So what do you think about that?" And being quick, I go, "We're very flexible on letting people pay early. You know, if that's what you want to do, we'll find a way to make that work for you." We had two large orders in with this company. So we assume we got this order, and this is good, and life goes on. So we ask about what's happening in this other order, and the gentleman goes, "Oh, no, we're going to do that, but that'll be next month." So we're kind of like going, Now, all I can say is that God is good. Mm-hmm. I try and put myself in his hands all the time. And I've been finding that the more I do that, the better things have been going. There's another little testimony I'm going to share for my wife. I was having a really difficult time while I was out of town this past week. And I can't really do much. And so I'm talking to her and praying with her, and you know, not much is happening. She's not feeling very good. So I said, "Call the brother." And the brother who always prays and is always there prays with Susan. And the change from 100 miles away is undeniably amazing. And so I talk with Susan, and she goes, "I'm good. I'm ready. God is good." Had the best night of sleep she's had in probably a week. I say that to be encouraging about the power of prayer.
Yes.
You know, I'll tell you something. Maybe you all know this because you're all sharper than I am about this, but when you try and witness to someone about your church, people really don't want to hear about it.
No.
You don't want to tell them that the way you're going is the right way, and if you're not going this way, you're going the wrong way. But you just start talking about God and what God is doing in your life.
Yes.
God opens up hearts. Yeah. And God opens up ears. Now, let's not be foolish. We also often have much more open ears and a much more open heart when the world really presents you with a problem. Whether it's blindness or deafness or cancer, what have you. When it starts becoming quote-unquote real, people are really inclined to get on their knees and seek him. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, we realize that it's not the natural that counts. It's the spiritual that counts. And I have found the hardest thing about that moment has been getting out of the way. Mm-hmm. Because God's plan might not be for me to be the happiest guy on the planet. God's plan might be for me to have to work really, really hard every day. Scripture tells us that if I do absolutely everything I'm supposed to, it's a push. You don't get any extra merit points. It's what is God's just due. You don't hear that one in church a lot because that's not very uplifting. But it is. Mm-hmm. It is the Word of God. And if you begin to accept that, even in a little, you recognize that it's a short time here, and the prize or the brass ring or whatever cliche you want to use is eternal life. And what are you going to do for eternal life? And if you keep your mind clear of you and your heart open to God, then eternal life becomes really important. You know, the last, and I'm going to take a quick poke at the pastor, 15, 16, or 17 years. I don't know what it is, but it keeps changing every other week.
I'm not sure either.
It's getting longer, quicker than the time, the calendar, but in any event, it doesn't matter because time doesn't matter to God. But the point is, since we have been taking man out of the equation and trying to serve God through His Word, things have been happening. Everybody that I see and interact with are extremely different than what they were in the past. That's God working in us.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And I'm I'm just grateful that He is. And as we say, you know, as little children, let us come to let Him teach us and learn.
That's good.
It is... The more dire the situation, generally, the easier it is to be open. But you just have to remember to keep running the race, regardless of the circumstance. I would have not guessed that these physical things that have fallen upon people have been the way that God is going to find people. Last year, over a year ago, Susan and I were on a little road trip to the East Coast, and Sue Berger made the comment that she was hoping that her situation, her illness, would allow her an opportunity to help win the lost. Mm-hmm. And on that trip, we had some experiences where we met people. And as we know, it's not up to us, it's up to God. But who knows what God's going to do with what goes on with us. And what I can do and the things and the opportunities that have been presented to me, I just want to make sure that I'm always and constantly giving the glory to God, because it is certainly not me. And I'm amazed all the time at how He takes things and turns them into good things. Mm-hmm. And even when it appears that He's not, He probably still is in a way that you just don't know. That's been my experience.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Amen.
I guess I don't really even know where to start. 2007, I had an injury on my leg. I had a sharp pain in my hip where I couldn't walk 50 feet. And, you know, I had to quit firemen. I had to switch hours on my job. And I'm just saying that for, it's going to come up later. I mean, they did 3 MRIs on it. They did some on my knee, and they couldn't find anything wrong. And they said, just keep exercising it. And I did exercises until I was blue in the face, and it just never got better. Just the same amount of exercise. So 2013, in February, at work, I had to take a mask test. You put a mask on, and they put a hood over your head, and you breathe. And it's a test they do for see how good your lungs are for I was in powder coating at the time. And I never did well on them. Oh, all right. Okay. So I never did well on these tests. But this year, she was at the hospital. The company sends you over there to do it. And I wasn't even in powder coating. I was in welding by this time. And but I was a backup, so they wanted me to have this. You have to have the certification. So she did the test, and then she came back. It took her forever, and she came back with a doctor, and she said that your lungs are the age of a 101-year-old. So then I went to see my family doctor, and I had a lump here all of a sudden. Started right here. So they sent me to all these tubes and different hospitals and slide in and out, and they found some type of tumor in my right upper lobe. So they wanted to let it grow to see if it would grow, if it was just a spot. Well, in August it was growing. So November they of 13, they took the upper lung arteries or the bronchial tubes, took everything out, and it was cancerous. So then 2 of the lymph nodes tested positive for cancer, lung cancer. So January of 14, we started chemo. And that went till May of 14. And after that, it was shrunk. So I was all right. And then 2015, in April, it was still clear. And then just in August, this last August, I went, and it was still clear. But they found a spot in my ribs that they were concerned about. And I said, well, that's where they cut the 2 ribs out to pull the lung out. And she said, well, I'll mention that to her, because they wanted to do a PT scan. So I was out of town. They called and they wanted to schedule that week. So I scheduled for the following week, which was the 1st of September. So I went in, and she said, I don't have good news for you. They found it in 6 spots, in a couple of spots in the vertebrae and in the rib area here. So I need some more prayer. it doesn't hurt. They asked if it hurt. And when they started, after the operation of pulling the lung out, they found an aorta artery, the AAA, that was 5.5 centimeters. But they couldn't do anything because I was on chemo. So after that, the platelet count was down, and they couldn't do anything. Finally, this spring, March, I told them I didn't care anymore. I just wanted it done. Because when they were checking that, keeping an eye on it with the ultrasound, they asked me if I ever had problems with my left leg. I'm like, 8 years. And the parenal artery was 100% plugged. So those are fixed. So we're on to another battle now. So I started my first chemo last Friday. And I did blood work this Friday, yesterday, or this last Friday, and my white blood cell fighter ICBs or BCIs or the fighter ones were down to one. So I'm on an antibiotic for infections and stuff like that. So, but I feel great. So, I want to tell you.
You don't look like your story.
No, that's right.
Well, it's real.
Tell me about your idea that you need to pray for people.
Well, I've always wanted to do that. I just don't know how. Everybody that I hear pray for people just seem to know what to say and how to say it. I don't know what to say. It doesn't come to me. So.
I know exactly how you feel.
I don't know what to say. Kelly's really good at it.
Kelly's
going to
help. So I have to laugh because, you know, ever since I married Ben, you can stay there. You know, when I first married him, he has this strange desire to pray for people for healing, and I thought, and that was really wrong of me. And you know, I've been reading the scriptures more recently because I got this new job and busy. But I start reading the scriptures, boy, and it's just like Jesus is sitting right there on the rock talking to me. It's so incredible. And you know, all through the scriptures, there's been disease, there's been epilepsy, this is nothing new. But Jesus, you know, I just felt like God was speaking to me and just saying, you know, he just wants to get us to a place where this doesn't shock us. You know, disease doesn't shock us. It's that we're walking so close with him that we say, be healed. Or, you know, that's how close it is. And it's just like, you know, God is doing a good thing in both of us. And I know a lot of people won't necessarily listen to us because they'll say, oh, you're going through this traumatic thing and this is why this is happening. But I know better than that. You know, we lived with each other for how many years. I know what God, that he's going to move and he's moving. And it's been interesting to see how this all, you know, will play out. And, you know, the scriptures just are so alive and what's the word? You know how I was reading recently about when the parable about the workers that came in and they said, you know, he gave them this pay and then at the end of the day, he gave them the same pay and they were mad, you know, and it's like, it's the same thing. You know, I had these resentments because I went to church for 10 years and, you know, Ben hasn't done nothing and he's been naughty and he's, you know, he don't deserve it, but God is doing a good work in me. And he just, you know, my mom recently, I mean, I wish she was here to talk about it, but she went through the death of her, with her older sister. And, you know, she said, my sister never served the Lord. She, barked at me in my religion, but she was with her for the last few days, and she said, I mean, her sister said it was the most beautiful. She never knew that dying could be so beautiful, and she was so close to the Lord, just like she had been in my mom's shoes for the same amount of time. You know, so I'm just excited to see what God is going to do.
Thanks for listening.
Someone saying that the Holy Spirit likes a mess. Mm-hmm. And I know what it means. I know what that fellow meant by that. Ben's quite a mess. Mm-hmm. If he were an automobile, that car would be in the shop a lot, you know. Got a lemon there, Ben. But, you know, ordinarily, someone tells about these serious health problems like Ben and Ev, and, oh, you'd feel so bad. Oh, you have to, you know, that'd be the standard response in the world. I don't particularly feel that way about Ben. I feel, okay, this will be fun. Now, I imagine I'd feel a little bit differently if it was me that was happening to, but I kind of like a mess too, you know? I just see it as a great opportunity for the Lord to do wonderful things. I just see it as being that, you know? Wonderful, among the wonderful things, certainly not the whole list, but among them is a physical healing, but a lot of other real good things too. You know? The Holy Spirit likes a mess.
It's tough to beat Keith up here when he's got that much of a head start, wobbly legs and all. Something Ben said that was, actually, Kelly said, that really sparked something in me. You know, we have spent a fair amount of time talking about trying to help us understand that God just really doesn't have time. You know, the fourth dimension, when it comes to God, doesn't exist because if you were there in the beginning, there now, and there in the end. Time doesn't matter. And we tend to look at that particular setting of Scripture, and it's very hard. Because in the natural, time makes a great big deal of difference. And we have to, and we've said it in the past, I'll say it again, we have to be excited for the opportunity for God to bring someone from way out in left field, an atheist, someone who's actually spoken against God, and turn that person around, save that soul in a blink of an eye. Because to God, it's not a blink of the eye. To God, He's knowing that's going to be, and He's going to welcome that soul. And we're the troublemakers. We're the ones that are going to struggle with, wait a minute.
That's not fair.
What about all those years listening to those Bible studies? What about those prayer groups? Before I'm saved, how about those novenas I put in? Stations of the Cross? Acts of Contrition? You have to be Roman Catholic to get that. But anyways, I have served my time. How did so-and-so come in, you know, on the last ferry out? And you go, because that's what God wanted. Because that was God's plan. And we have to be open to what God can do. Brother Ben, God can do amazing things at the very last moment. And we have to be strong in faith to be expectant that's exactly what He's going to do. Not because it's fun, because we know it's not fun. And we certainly know it's not easy. And it's certainly not our choice. I mean, Jesus, the perfect sacrifice on the cross, turned to the Father and said, can you take this cup from me? And then turned around and said, but your will be done. So obviously, time here in the natural is not a cupcake. But that's not really the thing. The thing is, let's let God do what He can do, and whoever He brings in at the end, let's all just say glory. Because that is really, really what counts. But I'm there. I'm going to be very hard-pressed not to be looking over my shoulder and go, what? How does this work? But God's got time to fix me in that area, too.
Today's medical profession is outstanding. We have, you know, some of the best things available, technology and whatever else. We have an an excellent system. I mean, it's just in, you know, increasing in intelligence. There's a problem, though. And you know what the problem is? The doctors. A lot of them should go to a psychology class or something, and so they learn to give good reports. You know what I'm saying? You have a physical ailment. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. You've only got, you know, like 3 days to live or something. Or like that story. I should have told you 3 days ago, you know. And anyway, so that what we have is bad reports and bad reports. And you know what bad reports do? They defeat you. And once you're defeated, it is going to increase your problem. If people have a right attitude and an upper attitude and an encouraging whatever, that's half of the healing process. And the Bible says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come, or Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So the main emphasis that God wants us to be concerned about is the witness, the saving of souls, the bringing into the kingdom. That's the main emphasis. But here's what it says. And it says in Mark 16, it says, and these signs shall follow them. You know, like a tail. They come behind. And people do, they put them out ahead.
Right.
And it's like, you know, like William Branham. And I know people that he was, you know, he traveled all over the country, and people would go to wherever he was at to watch what was going on. They followed Jesus to watch what was going on, a lot of people. And he said, you're just, you know, you're here for the signs and the wonders and the healings and the things. But his emphasis was on the Word of God, which he brought in truth. And the message that I want to bring tonight that I almost brought today, except a lot of people showed up and so we're fine, but it's the power of truth. It's not the power of Keith Gunn's interpretation. It's not the power of anybody's doctrine within their churches. The Bible says, because they received not a love for the truth, that they might be saved. Salvation hinges on people receiving a love for truth. And Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth through your truth. Your word is the truth. And you know what I've discovered? Here's the truth. Do I know it? I'm gaining momentum. I'm gaining ground because I am receiving a love for the truth. What, Lord, what is the truth? I want to know. And if I have a love for the truth, I am going to become a believer that has signs following. But and if we're not interested in what, actually, God, what did you mean by that? And you have given the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Please get Him involved. Please let Him lead me and guide me into the truth, because I want to know the truth. And so, I have seen, quite a few healings over the years, and I've mentioned this before, but you know what? I never knew ahead of time that any one of those people was going to be healed. I've never known it. It followed. We prayed for people. The Bible, you know, we're supposed to pray for one another. God does the healing. God is behind it. So what you do, and that's my encouragement, you know, other people heard me say this here, but what you do is you ask God to give you a love for the truth, and when you read the scriptures, allow the Holy Spirit to start developing the truth. I have had to write so many things off that I thought was the truth over the years. I've had to write them off. You know what? I was taught this over and over and over. That wasn't the truth. It don't line up with this. So what we do is we ask God to give us a love for the truth. I had something happen. I'm going to say this, and we can come up to the front here, but I had something happen the other night. And years ago, Kelly's mother and dad, at that time, Rodney and Betty, were involved in a number of strange things. This is before 82 when Deliverance started. And they used to tell me about these weird things that would happen in somebody's house. Doors would open somewhere. Things that, remember that, Kelly? I mean, strange, weird things. This is just before Deliverance. And so when Vicki went into that manifestation that night, and Simon was praying with her, and she was wilder than a two-headed billy goat. I mean, just that's one of my expressions. And I came back to pray with her. It was a scary situation. For a half hour, I took the worst verbal abuse I've ever taken. It was a horrible experience. And Rodney and Betty were up here at the front praying, and I kept asking, somebody have them come back, because they've been involved in these things. They wouldn't come. Well, anyway, prior to that night, March 15th, 1982, prior to that night, I had experienced some of the weirdest things ever. Like something was choking me to death in the middle of the night. And wake up in the morning, and I'd hear a little voice and say, just say Jesus. I couldn't. It was a strange, weird, horrible, it shows me the power that the devil has that we don't even acknowledge. We don't even understand that he has that kind of power, but he does have it. Wake up, one morning I woke up, I had handprints around my neck, white handprints, and the only hands that were there were mine.
It wasn't me.
And she wasn't, no, Joanne wasn't doing it. Well, anyway, recently there's been some of these things happening again. Just weird things in my thing. And the other night I had one. I'm the only one that had this thing happen. So you kind of, if you believe anything I've ever said, believe this. And we have a glass, thick glass door between the, you know, our kitchen and going out into the little entryway. It's a heavy glass. It's probably 3/8 of an inch thick or so, and it's a heavy door. And I was sitting at the table, and Chuck was over to Candy and Pablo's, and I was sitting there, it was a little cold and or warm. I don't know which way it was, but anyway, I took the door and I swung it and I let it go because it's heavy enough. It'll go and it'll shut itself. And all of a sudden, that door came flying right back at me. And I thought, there's somebody there. I just slammed the door on somebody. It was a little dark outside. And I started to shake. And I went out there. There's nobody there. The next time I did it, the door shut. So help me. That door came flying right back at me and almost... It's like it was ready to hit me. And I said that to say this. There is a demonic warfare. There's a force that's out here that manifests itself every so often. And this thing is, there's a reason for it. Just like what I saw in the clouds the other night. Or this little thing that happened. It's letting us know that we're not wrestling with spirit, with flesh and blood. Amen. We're wrestling with principalities and powers. Rulers of darkness. That's what it says in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And so, anyway, we have to, you know, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. You know what it says first? James 4:7. It says first, it says, draw nigh unto God. No, it does not. No, it doesn't. It says submit unto God. Submit to God. And then it says, and then resist the devil and he'll flee. And then it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. There's a sequence. The first thing you do is submit to God. And you know what we have to understand, the basic thing? This is God's word. This is God's word. Not my private interpretation of it. Not some church's concept of it. This is God's word. What has happened is the devil has changed this thing until we have a divided thing out here that is so hopelessly confused. But you know what God wants? He wants you to receive a love for the truth. So that when we get this thing embedded in us, that we want truth more than we want anything else. We want the truth. When we want the truth, and we do, and we let God give us a love for it. It said, because they receive not a love for the truth. If you don't read, where does it come from then? It's God that will give us the love for the truth. Anyways, let's, oh, come on.
I'm really blessed, Kelly, that you're sharing about reading the scriptures and that you're being touched by the scriptures. That is a blessing. That's really what I would hope for everyone. Now, when you talk about the scriptures, that you can feel that emotion. I don't know how long you've done it, or your life, or just now, or whatever. Keep doing it. The scriptures and the scriptures only, and just shut off men's ideas of how to live your life in a godly way. Just listen to God's voice through His mouth, which is God's word. That's what you're doing. But don't let the devil or anyone tell you, there's more out there to listen from, or somebody's ideas, or how are they doing it? How are they making it work? Don't worry about it. Just listen to the scriptures. Read them. Just the scriptures alone. Because Jesus says, you know, now you're clean by the words that I speak to you. It's Jesus' words. Just keep doing what you're doing. And you know what? It's not as easy to do it as it sounds. And sometimes you might... It might sound simple. It's just the Bible. But we have itching ears. And you know, it's like we want to hear other people. What do they say about God's word? Tell me how to do it. It's a little easier, I think. It's not. It might sound easier. You know, so Proverbs, I think, says, the lips of the devil. I'm... The lips of the devil are sweet like honey, it just makes it attractive, but it's not. Other thing, when you pray for each other, I could have just told you this personally, I don't know why I was telling you. When you pray for each other, or you pray for Ben's sickness, there's a few things that you probably know, but I'm just going to refresh your memory or look it up. But when you pray, Jesus says, you have to forgive everyone. Just make sure that's how you make your prayers more effective. You know, Jesus walked around and he people got healed and they didn't forgive nothing. They didn't follow the scriptures or nothing. So I'm not saying that's the only way to get healed. But if you want to be a step ahead, at least, when you pray, you have to forgive everybody, not almost everybody, everybody and everything that they've done, everything. Forgive them. Jesus says, and then you pray. Not only that, but you ask for forgiveness from God. You need to ask for forgiveness. Then when you pray once, you pray twice, and three times, four times, five times, and you pray until you receive your healing. That's how you pray. Mm-hmm. After you receive your healing, sin no more, because a worse affliction can come upon to you, says Jesus. Sin no more, and if not, something worse is going to happen. So don't think because you receive your healing, you're good to go and live your life in however you please. Just sin no more. And I'm not saying you're such a sinful man or nothing, but that's just what the Bible says. Sin no more. And you're reading the scriptures. You'll run into those things that I told you about asking for forgiveness, about forgiving people, about sinning no more after you receive your healing. What if you don't receive your healing? What if you get super sick? You know what? At least you will have forgiven everybody. You will be forgiven, and you'll be clean, and you'll be saved. You know. you know, the doctors, you know, Keith talking about the doctors, they see whatever else here and there. My dad, he was epileptic. I was telling Kennedy this last night. And, you know, I was little, I was young, and I didn't know the scriptures. So he was epileptic, and, you know, they will put him through a scan thing or whatever. And they find, they'll see a spot, you know, in his head someplace. And so they'll pinpoint, you know, that's your epilepsy right there. So my dad, okay, you know, that's his epilepsy. And so he takes medicine and whatever. But Jesus, when he refers to epilepsy, he doesn't say, and there was this guy with a spot in his brain. He says, and there was, you know, the epileptic. You know what I mean? And it would be nonsense for the Bible, to the scriptures, to say to the someone with cancer, let's say, or whatever, and there's this guy with a spot in his lungs, you know, and there's this other guy with a, you know, with a broken, with an extra something someplace in his body. It will be ridiculous for the Bible to talk about every sickness and how it affects the body and what is it, according to the doctors. You know what I mean? That's why just the Bible refers to the epileptic as, you know, he's got a demon. You know what I mean? It torments him and he throws him to the fire. He foams at the mouth. So it's just the devil tormenting you. You know what I mean? We all have sicknesses of one way or another. And the doctors can say, well, see, we took you, put you through the test, and you got three here and you got two here. Well, do what do you want to do? You want to go by the doctors or you want to go by the Bible? What do you want to do? Everybody, I know, for example, Susan, she's got difficulties doing certain things. I don't know exactly. And, you know, the doctor said, you know, you have a chemical imbalance. Well, so does the epileptic. He's got a spot in his brain. But it's really, do you want to realize, well, you know, the doctors are saying I have this. Well, the Bible says there's a demon tormenting you. What are you gonna rely on? What are you gonna stand on? Just stand on the scriptures. Just go by the scriptures and say, you know what? The doctors say this and this and this and this. But Jesus just wants to cast the demon out of you. It's just don't get me wrong. You're not the devil because you're sick. I got issues with me. I eat all day long. I got issues. Everybody's got issues. But it's the devil tormenting us. And we can pray for the sickness, for whatever it is. You know, the epileptic's got a spot. And Ben, I don't know exactly what you have, the doctor say. And, you know, Susan and Jean and whatever else. It's just it's just the devil tormenting us. And let's not focus on what is it called that you have, or what is the spot, or where it is. Let's just focus on praying that God will take care of it, and it's just the devil trying to torment you. And again, if you still have it forever, at least you've forgiven everybody, you asked for forgiveness, and you kept praying, and that's what God wants you.
I was with Keith yesterday at that wedding, and it was kind of cold on Saturday when were we there for the rehearsal? Was on Friday, wasn't it? Friday, yeah. I got cold, so I sat in the car, and there was a brochure of Jerome's testimony sitting there, so I thought I would read it. And by the time I got done reading it, I was weeping for reading. And I know that. I've read it several times before. But I felt the Lord was dealing with me to just every time that Keith and I prayed for Jerome, he was healed. He was healed. And it goes along with what Pablo said. We knew it was a demonic because they were healed right away. I mean, he had this horrible lung problem. He was healed right now because he went to the doctor and it wasn't there. And he was healed of different things right now. It didn't take a month. And so we could look back and say that those were demons. Like Pablo said, those were demons that were plaguing him.
Because you don't get healed of a lung problem or a what else was he, kidney trouble?
Yes.
Yeah, he was on a machine, and he was healed immediately. And then he tells in this testimony how he prayed for a little boy that was crippled. And he was immediately healed, and he started running around, and he had never walked or ran before. I mean, diseases aren't healed that fast. If you go to the doctor and get a pill, you don't take the pill and it's gone. It takes time, and eventually the pills and stuff will heal you, and the doctor thinks that it will. But like Pablo said, a lot of those things are demonic. I think my loss of memory, I don't have a big loss, but sometimes I can't remember people's telephone numbers and things like that. And even Jean, I think she's being plagued by a demonic thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's taken advantage of her. And it weighs on Charlie. Now, I'm not saying we're all demon-possessed. No, it's just a demon is bugging people in certain areas. And so then if we treat it as that way and pray for it to be gone. I mean, I was just weeping over that article. So I thought, what are we doing about it? I said to Keith, we need to make copies of that and send it all over so people know that God is healing. God will heal. And there's some of us that will pray for them if they ask.
I'm trying to think of where it was. It's in, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, but Paul was given his experience, how he had these experiences in the second heavens and the third heavens and all of these things that he had seen. And because of the greatness of the things that God had shown him, he said that he was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, a demonic force. I mean, God allowed it. And here's what it said. Paul says, and I sought the Lord three times. And if God had not spoken to him, he would have sought the Lord 300 times or 3,000 times. You know what I'm saying? He asked God three times. I mean, why didn't God speak the first time? On the third time that he asked God to remove this thing from him, and God said, I have given this thing for you, to you, because otherwise, lest you be exalted above measure. And you know what? I don't think that it meant that people would exalt Paul over the revelation. I think it meant Paul would exalt himself. Do you follow me? Because he had seen these exceptional, awesome things. And so, the reason I said that, it was a demonic force, but God had allowed it. And I think, Gene, I really think it was his eyesight. I think Paul's eyesight was, all of a sudden, it was really foggy. Why don't we come up to the front?